Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you after a thrilling 9-7 Texas Rangers win over the Boston Red Sox in extra innings. Man, this has got to be, I feel like I say this after every win, so maybe take it with a grain of salt, but this has got to be a top five win this year. I gotta say, thinking back to a lot of the wins that we've had this year, this has got to be a top five for me. Just the way that the Rangers came back in this one, absolutely incredible. We're going to get into everything here in just a little bit. Always more fun to come on and do these lives with you guys after a win like tonight. But before we get into it too far, of course, y'all here Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers and especially the Rangers during baseball season. I want to say a special thank you to your support, all of the likes, views, shares, comments. Thank you for choosing Right on Rangers. There's so many different content options out there for Rangers baseball. Appreciate you choosing us. We will do our best to give you some great post-game analysis tonight. A lot of good things to talk about. A lot of good things. And that is a great problem to have. For once, it feels like the last 2 or 3 weeks has been especially tough on the diehards, on the big Rangers fans, myself included. So to get a win like tonight, Let's go. All right. By the way, hello to everybody tuning in, whether you're on TikTok, whether you are on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X. What's up? And thank you for tuning in. Tristan, yes, we needed that win. We need that win. It was a long time coming. It felt like 3-game losing streak. You lost the last game to the Yankees. You dropped the first two in Boston, little 3-game skid. Good to get a win. Go Rangers. Absolutely. And let's just go ahead and launch into some of the big time names that contributed to this one. So let's go in chronological. I think we got to start with Adolis Garcia having a 2-homer game, heating up on the East Coast. Last two games for Dolly weren't terrible, but Dolly 7-for-11 in New York. And then tonight goes off 2 homers. Dolly had, 3 hits, 3-for-5, 2 RBI, both solo shots. I think we got to start with Adolis Garcia. Lord knows we have ripped him up and down, Rangers fans, myself included, for the regression this year. Now, I mean, I should take that back. I know some Rangers fans don't believe in ever criticizing any player or coach ever, so obviously I'm not including them in the bunch. But here on this show, we have told you the cold, hard facts about Dolly and the stats and where he's at. And they're not good on the season. But Dolly, 7-for-11 in New York, goes 3-for-5 tonight with 2 bombs. The home run that he hit in the top of the 8th did not tie the game, but it put it within 1, gave the Rangers a very legitimate chance to have a win tonight. And without Dolly's contributions, not sure this team gets a dub. So we got to start with Dolly. Great night for him. Multi-homer night. Great East Coast road trip for Adolis Garcia. 100%. Let's go to the 9th inning. Actually, let's go to the bottom of the 8th. So bottom of the 8th, we've got David Robertson pitching. Robertson in the bottom of the 8th starts it out like this. Here was the sequence. We had Jaron Duran singling. We then had Abreu striking out swinging. Jaron Duran actually was thrown out at second. So we had a very good start to the bottom of the 8th inning. It quickly went bad. Then we had a double by Yoshida, 2-out double. Intentionally walked Devers. And then Danny Jansen, recently acquired from the Blue Jays, singles on a line drive to left field. Connor Wong scored, 5-4, Red Sox. From there, we had a double by Gonzalez that just made it a little bit worse, and it was 7-4, Red Sox in a blink. I think we would be remiss if we didn't talk about that Danny Jansen single. Doesn't look like they attributed any error to Wyatt Langford on that throw. How on earth did Wyatt Langford not get an error on that throw in the bottom of the 8th inning? I mean, look, we don't want to dwell on the negative too much, but that throw was literally 15, 20 feet over Jonah Heim's head. How do you not give Wyatt Langford an error there? I guess maybe because nobody advanced. I'm only throwing that out. I don't even know it for a fact. I just don't even understand how you don't give an error to Wyatt there. And they did slow it down. They kind of did the slow-mo freeze frame. And I know I did it as well on my TV, but looked like an even mildly decent throw on that Danny Jansen single that ultimately ended up scoring Connor Wong. Looked like even a mildly decent throw would have got the runner at home plate and ended the inning. But Wyatt Langford airmails a throw that would have potentially cut down the go-ahead run for the Red Sox. It was not meant to be. Red Sox would go on to lead 7-4 heading into the ninth inning. Fast forward to the top of the ninth. Corey Seager, Josh Smith go back-to-back ground ball singles. Thought Dolley might go ahead and hit that third home run and tie the game, but Dolley popped out to Gonzalez, first baseman, on the infield fly rule. Nate Lowe came up, grounded into a force out. So that made it two outs with runners on first and third. And Wyatt Langford, maybe, I don't want to say the biggest hit of his career, but it's got to be up there. One of the biggest knocks of his career, Wyatt Langford hits a home run with two outs at the death to send the Rangers to the bottom of the ninth inning with a chance to go to extras. 0-1 count, cutter, middle in, and Wyatt Langford did not miss. Two outs, one strike, Rangers at the death, tie it 7-7 on a three-run homer by Wyatt Langford. Durant called out on strikes immediately after. And I think we also, we led with Dolley. Let me lead with somebody else that deserves a lot of credit but may not get it in the headlines on MLB Network or .com or ESPN. Let's talk about Matt Festa. He came in a tough spot when he was recently called up, gave up a run. Rangers with the depleted bullpen don't have a lot of options right now. But Matt Festa tonight comes in after Robertson and throws an inning and a third, no base runners, one strikeout, no walks, and gets the game to extra innings. I don't think that was any small feat. Don't know what it means for Festa long term, but what he did, bottom of the ninth in Fenway, tie game, getting the game to extra innings. We can't sleep on that. That was an incredibly clutch performance from Matt Festa, throwing what? Only his, was that his second or third major league game? The guy has three major league games now under his belt. Regular season, three games for us, about 90 games total in his career. Three or four games on the regular season for us, 93 games in his career. And what a big moment. Good to see Festa performing bottom of the ninth, Rangers bullpen depleted. Don't sleep on that performance from Matt Festa. Incredible. Now, let's take it to the top of the 10th. Ghost runner on second base. The Rangers, correct me if I'm wrong, they've won a lot of extra inning games, it feels like. I maybe am just not remembering that well. I don't know. But it feels like we have won quite a few extra inning games. We didn't win the extra inning game, on Monday? But it feels like we have won a lot of extra inning games this year. Maybe I'm totally off on that. But Jonah Heim, leaving no doubt in the very first at-bat of the 10th inning, Jonah takes, Zach Kelly deep. Kind of a no-doubter off the bat in my mind. Jonah Heim, was that first pitch as well? First pitch right down the pipe. I mean, that thing was center cut. First pitch right down the pipe. And Jonah Heim, that has got to feel so good for him with his recent, let's call it demotion, basically now in a platoon with Carson Kelly. You know that had to feel good for Jonah Heim, giving the Rangers a 9-7 lead. Leody Taveras singled soon after. The Rangers were not able to cross any more runs. I was glad that Leody error on the base pass did not come back to bite the Rangers. Leody kind of takes his eye off Beasley for a second. Would have probably scored on that Josh Smith double in the top of the 10th. Glad that did not come back to bite the Rangers. And for Leody's sake, Leody had a really nice game tonight. 2-for-4, RBI. Leody had a great game. I really did not want us to have to scrutinize his base running. So glad to see Leody and that base running error not come back to bite us. Kirby Yates comes in, and of course, of course, gives up no runs, even with the ghost runner rule. No runs, 1K, ERA now 102 on the year, 21st save. Kirby Yates perfect in save opportunities. Incredible. Incredible season he's having. I'm going to hit the comments because I know I've been putting y'all on hold for a little bit. I appreciate y'all hanging with me. Let me get through the comments here and kind of roll through. Natalie, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. Langford and Garcia with good games at the plate. Langford absolutely makes up for that bad defensive play. I mean, that was one of the worst throws I mean, I've probably seen from a Rangers outfielder this year. Leodis had some doozies. That was one of the most terrible throws I've probably seen from a Rangers outfielder. And such a clutch moment too, right? Such a clutch moment. You needed just a halfway decent throw there. It could have been a two-hopper. Just throw that one into the ground as hard as you can, and it probably has a better chance of getting the runner out at home than what Wyatt Langford had there. It's hard. You're on the road in a do-or-die situation, and Wyatt Langford doesn't make the play there. So for him to come up, get some redemption, incredible. Cue the I Like Texas music. I'm glad the boys are going to be heading back home. Twins are no slouch. It's going to be a tough series. Minnesota four-game set coming up. We'll talk about it at the end of the show. But cue the I Like Texas music and Wyatt Langford, one of several heroes for the Rangers tonight, no doubt. John, what's up, my man? Thanks for tuning in. What an insane win tonight, John says. Roller coaster. Adolis huge night. Wyatt just forever clutch in our last out. Heim with the go-ahead homer on the first pitch. There's no quit in this team. Look, this was definitely one of those games. They very well, it might not mean anything for the rest of the season. And I'm not going to sit here and say this game is going to turn it all around. You know, we're past that, y'all. We've kind of talked this through. But I will say this. It showed you something about this team tonight, that they came back and won this game. You know, the Red Sox go up 7-4 in the ninth inning. It's pretty easy to go 1-2-3 quietly. This team grinded out at bats in the top of the ninth and in the top of the 10th and came back and won this game at a time in their season where they are all but done, all but done. I don't think any Rangers fan that's been watching these guys all year is super, super hopeful that playoffs are going to be a happening thing. Like I said to y'all really the past two nights, let's just lock in game by game. We'll peek at the standings now and then. If it gets interesting, great, but I'm with John. This win told me a lot about this ball club. Would have been very easy to roll over and get swept in the top of the ninth inning down three, especially after a very deflating error from Wyatt Langford. I know he doesn't get the error in the scorebook, but, I mean, you overthrew a guy by 10 feet. Come on, dude. I mean, that was bad, but Wyatt Langford makes up for it. And then some with the home run. The last out ties the game, helps send it to extra innings. Great stuff. Let me keep going. Agreed. Wyatt Langford, homer, so clutch. Scott, thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you, bro. 11 left on base tonight. Is that right? It is crazy how much we waste opportunities. The games really don't need to be this close. I mean, they really don't. Y'all hear me joke all the time. I mean, can we just get a game where we win by 4 or 5? We don't have to come back. It doesn't have to be some one-run nail-biter. Can we just get a game consistently, like, you know, not just a one-off, and then 2 weeks pass before another one? Can we just get a couple of games that are just no sweat, no stress, taking advantage of the guys on base? 11 left on base tonight, and runners in scoring position was 2-for-16. Not pretty. Just not pretty with the runners in scoring position. But you know what? They did it when it mattered. Wyatt Langford, Jonah Heim, back-to-back innings, hits with runners in scoring position. And, of course, those two homers signify the only two hits the Rangers had with runners in scoring position. So you know what that means? We were 0-for-14 with runners in scoring position going into the ninth inning. Now, guys, I'm not a math guy, and I'm going on the fly here, but that's crazy. We were 0-for-14 with runners in scoring position going into the ninth inning. My goodness, that is bad. Let's not dwell on it. Like, this is a good night. The Rangers won a ball game. Let's not dwell on 0-for-14 going into the ninth inning before the Wyatt Langford home run. Goodness. Aaron, what's up, man? Thank you for tuning in. Appreciate you. Langford, absolutely. Redemption, revival. Man, the look on his face after the error just kind of said it all. And you didn't feel good about the Rangers' chances when the camera panned to Wyatt after the bad throw. I am very glad that I was wrong in that moment. I was not expecting a comeback. I don't know if a lot of Rangers fans were either, but I am glad to be wrong. Very glad to be wrong. Yes, Festa, great outing. Look, it might be fool's gold. I'm not going to proclaim anything with Matt Festa other than what he gave us tonight was incredibly needed, very much needed with the bullpen on the ropes. I mean, a lot of injuries right now, bullpen's on the ropes. The starting pitching rotation is a mess right now. We needed this from Festa. In the bottom of the ninth, not really what you wanted to do. I don't think that they were going to use Yates unless it was a clear save situation. And sure enough, he got trotted out there in the bottom of the 10th. But Yates going multi-innings on Monday night, wondered if he was going to get a couple days off. I sure was glad to see Kirby Yates in the bottom of the 10th. Am I right? I thought maybe they're going to try and get out of this one without using Yates. Maybe they're going to throw Festa out there for an additional inning. Did anybody else have that thought? I was sure that they were going to try and squeeze one more out of Festa. And with every fiber of my being, I was like, no, please, don't ruin this. He's had a great outing. The ninth inning, 1-2-3, super clutch. Let's not ruin it by trying to squeeze one more inning out of him. So when Kirby Yates was warming and then they brought him in, huge relief for me. Instantly felt amazing about our chances of getting that one. I think you bring Festa out there for the bottom of the 10th and it gets interesting quickly. But I sure was glad to see Kirby Yates out there on the bump to close this one out. Absolutely appreciate the comment. Much needed win. Much needed. This was ugly. I mean, the Rangers have lost, what, their last six series? This was looking ugly in Boston. The whole East Coast swing was not looking good. I mean, first you got swept in Toronto. Then you go to New York. You lose 2 out of 3. You lost 2 out of 3 in Boston. I know the Toronto series was a little while ago, but the road has not been kind to the Rangers. That's an understatement. So to get a win, at least not get swept on your way out of town, we'll take that. Hopefully the Rangers can go home, continue, and ride this wave a little bit against a very good Twins team. And as a couple of you said, I think it's time for the Rangers to relish the spoiler role. And maybe they look up in mid-September and it's 3 or 4 game deficit. You never know. You never know. But they do have some games left against some AL West opponents coming up. Let's just take it a game at a time, a series at a time, and I hope the Rangers can go back home, get some home cooking, sleep in their own beds, all that good stuff, see their families, and have a competitive series against a good Minnesota Twins team right in the thick of the playoffs there. Let me keep going here. Josh Smith, insane play at third. Yeah, I don't know what inning that was, but it was one of those diving stop down the line to his right. So dive to his right, diving stop. He completely spun his body around. You know, you'll see, like, for instance, Manny Machado sometimes take that one and just throw it from his knees, or Nolan Arenado. Smitty actually pops up, spins, and gets his body going the right direction for a throw and just absolutely unleashes and gets him by about a half a step. Got the base runner. I don't know. Was it Rafaela? Somebody like that. One of their speedy guys by probably half a step, I would say. It was a close play. It actually, on the replay, I thought it was going to be a little bit closer. He got him legitimately by about half a step. It wasn't like, you know, an inch off the base. The foot was an inch off. I mean, that was half a step. What a great throw that was. I'm sure that one is going to be on some highlight reels, no doubt. I'm scrolling back and trying to see if I can find the situation, if MLB put that one up. Doesn't look like they did, at least on their highlights of the game so far, at least the ones that I'm scrolling through. Yes, they did. Never mind. Josh Smith here. That was in the bottom of the second inning against Rafaela. If you got time, go and watch that Josh Smith replay. Bottom of the second inning, Rafaela up to bat. Incredible diving stop and throw to boot. John, thanks for bringing that up. Appreciate it. This is an interesting comment here. Thanks for tuning in. TV stat, first win after trailing for 8 innings. First win. So you're down the first 8 innings. You trail the entire game. And in the ninth, you come back and win it. Very cool. Like I said, this has got to be a top 5 win. At some point, y'all, I'm going to stop being lazy. This is a really busy time for me right now. Busy season in the fall. But I'm going to stop being lazy and look some of this up. Like, go back through, look at the wins, and rank the top 5 wins of the year. I want to do that at the end of the year. Make a video about it. Add in all the highlights, just have some fun with it. It might be a little bit longer than the minute videos we put out, but I just want to enjoy some of the best wins of the year. So I think I'm going to probably put that together in September. I've already got a couple in mind. I think this one's got to be up there. This one's got to be up there. The White Sox game, even though it's the White Sox, the Wyatt Langford walk-off, I think that one has to be one as well. There's a few others that come to mind. I'm not going to spoil it all, but this has got to be up there. Top five win this season for me. 7-2, John says, in extra innings, I believe, including the win tonight. Thank you for looking that up. I knew that we had only lost like one game in extra innings out of almost 10 going into Monday's game. So we dropped Monday in extras, two losses. Rangers do have a very good record in extras, and that's good to see because I feel like in the past seasons, it's been almost the opposite. I feel like the Rangers this year have been very good in extras for whatever reason. Well, let me get a little more specific here. Not for whatever reason. It's because the Rangers have Kirby Yates, and Kirby Yates has a knack for wasting ghost runners on second base in extra innings. He's a huge reason why we are so good in extras, and tonight was a prime example. He comes in, ghost runners on second. Two-run lead in extras is definitely a safer lead than one, no doubt, but still, you would expect the Red Sox to be able to at least score the runner on second. Most major league teams should be able to do that, just playing small ball. But nevertheless, for him to come in, no hits, no runs with the ghost runner on second, Yates has done that a number of times this year. Number of times. Thank you for those stats, John. I appreciate you. Richard, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. Been a little while, or maybe just a while since you commented, but thank you for watching the show. I appreciate you. Langford Rookie of the Year. I would love to look up the odds really quick. In fact, I'm going to try and do that with you guys right now. So let's go AL Rookie of the Year odds, and let's just see what we got. Let's see if I can find anything that's kind of updated. So this is an August 13th article. So, of course, it doesn't take into account tonight. I got to think the odds get a little bit of a boost on Langford. Not saying he's the front runner, but I got to think probably odds are going to go down a little bit. Not as much of a long shot, to be more specific, after Wyatt Langford's performance tonight. Looks like Colton Cowser is still odds-on favorite, so he's minus 280. I know not all of y'all are up on betting odds and how to read it and all that. Basically, bet $280 to win 100. So a fairly decent prohibitive favorite, Colton Cowser. Gil, I believe I'm saying that right, for the Yankees, the pitcher, about 4-1 odds. Austin Wells for the Yankees is 8-1 odds. Rafaela and Abreu for the Red Sox are both about 22 and 28-1. Wyatt Langford right now is 50-1 odds to win Rookie of the Year. So look, if you like Wyatt to have a killer month and a half over the next, I think you got to go and find yourself somebody that's going to take that 50-1 bet. I don't know if it's going to happen. I would probably say I kind of doubt it at this point. Do I doubt that Wyatt can have a good rest of the year? No, I don't doubt that at all. I think it's very possible that he's going to have a great rest of the year. But winning the Rookie of the Year, I do think is going to be difficult for him at this point. Now, let's look at Colton Cowser's numbers. So Colton Cowser right now for the Orioles, his stats on the season. Cowser is hitting .247, 18 bombs, 55 RBI. So .247, 18 bombs, 55 RBI. You compare that to Wyatt Langford. Right now, let me just read you Wyatt's stat line. So Wyatt batting .242, 7 homers, 47 RBI. So you figure he's about 10 RBI behind Cowser. Home runs are lacking. He does have the stolen base thing going for him. But I would say, look, at this point, it's going to be tough. Wyatt would have to go on an absolute tear to pull off Rookie of the Year. An absolute tear. What's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you. It's been a little while. At least since I feel like you've been on a live. I'm glad. This is why I love it even more when the Rangers win, is everybody wants to hop on after a Rangers win. And I mean that very sincerely. Like, genuinely, if I was you guys, I'd be the exact same way. I would not want to hop on as much after some of these bad losses. But I love that the wins bring out some of y'all that haven't been here in a second. So thank you so much. The 69 Miracle Mets were 10 games back on the 13th of August. We know how that season ended for them, just saying. Look, this is a man that is with me in spirit, y'all. You know that I am glass half full Rangers fan for sure. I'm glass half full, very optimistic. You guys have not seen me melt down after too many bad losses. I mean, occasionally, yes, But it's been probably, I would say, on one hand, you can count when I get on here and just have a meltdown about something. And even then, it's pretty tame. So I am eternal optimist. I think we can all admit it's not looking good right now for the playoffs. But it is the 14th of August. The Rangers are roughly 10 games out. And it's still possible. Mathematically, we're not eliminated. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Let's take it a game at a time. Like I said, let's win some series. Let's look up in September and let's see where we're at. Let's look up at the beginning of September. Jacob DeGrom probably might be back by then. Let's just see where we're at. Let's just put together some good baseball here. E. Baker, what's going on? Thanks for the comment. I don't know how Julio's doing. I might be able to check that out a little bit later, but I do not know how he's been since he's been back. I know he was activated on Sunday and the Mariners routed the Mets on Sunday Night Baseball in Julio's return to the lineup, but I haven't really kept track of that. Players of the game tonight, I think you could take a number of different guys. For me, this one is tough. I think you gotta go with Wyatt Langford or Jonah Heim. I mean, Wyatt Langford, if you don't get that home run there with two outs in the ninth, the pressure is on. I think you gotta give it to Wyatt. I just think the pressure and the amount of clutch needed to produce in that moment, off the charts. You are down to your last out and you're trailing by three runs. So the clutch factor, the enormity of the hit, the situation, the context, I think I give it to Wyatt with Jonah Heim a close second for hitting the bomb in the top of the 10th. That would be my order. There's a number of guys you could give it to. Dolly's got to be in there somewhere. Shoot, I would throw Festa in the mix. Festa had a great outing for us, just incredibly needed. We were low on arms. Bullpen is limping along right now. Festa, huge performance. So it's hard. Player of the game tonight is tough for the Rangers. And that's a great debate, a great problem that we can have going back and forth about who was player of the game tonight. I think Langford comment says has a better chance of having a silver slugger in his career than a gold glove. It's early and he has so much raw talent and ability, speed, power. I think you can really refine some things in Wyatt's game, which is the scary thing about him. And I think a lot of Rangers coaches and a lot of the front office has said as much about him. I think he just has so much just God-given raw talent and ability. And I think that he is going to continue to get better. Give him an offseason and give him a full year comfortable in a role. You know, rookie season can always be a little bit tough. Some guys kill it. Some guys are up and down like Wyatt's been. I think Wyatt can still get better, and that's kind of scary considering what we've seen from him so far. But if I was betting, yes, I would say I would bet on Wyatt to get a silver slugger before a gold glove, no doubt. Did the Mariners lose today? Okay, we're going to check out scores here in just a little bit. So we'll check things a little bit towards the end of the show, but looks like Mariners lost in extras. Unfortunately, the Astros just keep winning games, y'all. Hey, what? How many is that in a row? Is that 7 or 8 in a row now? Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. Astros just can't lose right now. It is what it is. You can't control it. The Rangers had their shot against the Astros. You can't control it now. That's why I say look up in September, the second week or something like that. Maybe it'll be a 3-4, something like that. And look, you're still technically in it. But let's just enjoy each game, take it a series, one game at a time, all that good stuff. Baseball Network, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. We needed this 100%. Let's go 100%. Let me keep on going here. Gio, thanks for tuning in. Rangers win. Go Rangers. Yeah, 8-game winning streak for Houston. Not good. Not good. 8-game winning streak. They're winning at just the right time. Really going for the knockout punch. I mean, I know it's not that easy in baseball going for the knockout punch, but I wonder if they looked over at what we were doing, losing just seemingly every game it felt like, and just saying, we gotta take them out right now and go on a run. And that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing right now. Aaron, I'm sorry. I know I'm a little bit behind. What did I miss on here? Did I mispronounce something? My bad if I did, y'all. I try my best, but my bad if I mispronounce somebody's name or something like that. Let me keep going here. Do you feel that Bochy is going to stick around for his final year? I guess it's definitely a possibility that he could retire. I feel like that he's going to do the final year of the contract. I can't see him skipping out on that. I think that he'll want to leave the game a little bit better than he did when he was with San Francisco. It's tough. You know, you win in your first year with the Rangers and you don't want to hang it up, but man, that would have been the perfect storybook ending for him, winning the World Series with the Rangers. I don't know. Boch kind of went out a little weird with the Giants. I wonder if in his mind he wants to leave the game on a little bit of a better note than what he did with San Francisco. And look, we're not saying, I'm not trying to tarnish his time in San Fran, but let's be real. At the end of Bochy's years in San Fran, the team had some struggles. He didn't go out, you know, a winner, a championship winner or anything like that. Of course, the body of work speaks for itself, but I just think Boch probably wants to go out on a little bit of a better note than what the Rangers have done this year, if I had to guess. Let me keep going here. We have a few things in the box score I think that we can lock in on. We talked about Doley, the three-hit night, Langford, three-hit night as well for him, three RBI, five RBI between Garcia and Langford. You love to see it. Carson Kelly with the knock tonight. Look, Jonah Heim does become the big hero in the top of the 10th, but Carson Kelly continues to just give you solid play in my mind. I think that regardless of what Jonah did tonight, I do feel they're going to continue to give Kelly ABs. Hopefully they can just mix and match well, but I think Carson Kelly is giving us some solid production from the bottom of the order. We also had Josh Smith 3-for-6 tonight. He had two doubles on the night as well, so five total bases for Josh. Siegs 1-for-5 with a walk, so on base twice. Simeon 1-for-6. We had a number of great performances tonight in the lineup. I already complimented Leody 2-for-4, and Leody also had a sac fly earlier in the game. So in my opinion, three productive at-bats from Leody tonight. I really feel like Leody's been on a good little clip here. We know how streaky the man can be, but Leody quietly hitting .318 in his last seven games. I mean, that's a quiet .318. I know that the Rangers and how they've been doing on the field, the results make it a quiet .318, but good to see Leody putting up numbers like this right now. When Leody's going well, it definitely makes the bottom of this order a lot more helpful, turning over the order, turning over the lineup, getting the Rangers big boppers some opportunities. So Leody going 2-for-4 tonight with a sac fly. Great day at the plate from him. He just sees Houck really well. He just sees Tanner Houck really well, hit the home run off him their last time that they faced each other. So good for Leody tonight. And a couple other things too. You look at the box score. I think a couple other notables. We have a few other guys. Dane Dunning, I think we have to talk about. I think Dane had a really good start tonight. A little bit marred by that sixth inning. So sixth inning, Dane gives up a couple. So the stat line doesn't look great. But Dane, I thought, had a really solid outing and threw the ball well. It was a great bounce back for him after several appearances in a row just not looking good at all. I mean, Dane, tonight, he threw 76 pitches. So he was cruising through the first five innings. Five innings, only had allowed two runs. That's a great start for a guy like Dane Dunning. And maybe, just maybe, they would have sent him out there anyways, regardless of the status of the bullpen. But maybe you get those five solid from Dane with a healthy bullpen behind, and you say, look, Dane has not given us something this good in a while. Let's take him out after five and let's let him end on a positive. Kind of like Urania and a couple of other pitchers recently. It's like you got to have them continue on and give you more length because of the bullpen situation and the starting pitching situation. But like Urania's start, you would have really liked to have seen Urania maybe get pulled before he gave up the big hit with bases loaded. But he had to go, had to eat up some innings. And I think it was similar tonight. Dane Dunning, you might like to see him even with the low pitch count. He gave you five quality. Now you turn it over to somebody else in the bullpen, but you leave Dane out, or you leave him out, or you take him out of the game with a good taste in his mouth. Unfortunate, he gives up a couple more in the bottom of the sixth, but you know what? He kept us in the game by and large. It was 4-3 when he left the game. He kept us in the game. I think you got to focus on that positive 100%. Robertson, let's talk about him. We don't want to dwell on the negative, but Robertson has been a little bit off of late. I think that's fair to say. Over his last seven games, 4.91 ERA, 2.18 WHIP, allowing over two base runners an inning. I don't know if the workload is catching up with Robertson. I don't know what it is of late. Maybe it's just some mechanical stuff that needs tweaking. Who knows? I'd be interested to hear what David Robertson himself would say. Don't know if they bothered to ask him the question. Dave, what do you think? What do you think's been going on lately? Giving up a little bit more runs. Have you pinpointed anything? Again, I know these are hard, maybe awkward questions to ask, but I feel like you have to in the media. If you're going to be a Rangers media, MLB media person, ask some uncomfortable questions at times. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm not giving Rangers reporters enough credit, but I would love for somebody to just ask that. I don't think it's a rude question. Dave, you haven't been pitching quite like yourself of late. What do you think's been going on? I don't know. Maybe somebody asked him. Maybe somebody asked him. But, you know, David Robertson did have a little bit of a tough pull tonight with the Wyatt Langford overthrow. I think a good throw ends that inning. But, you know, let's be real. David Robertson was not sharp in his outing tonight. So regardless of what Wyatt did, I know that that's the big thing that probably frustrated him. Regardless of that, David Robertson, not super sharp tonight. Four hits allowed. Look, Wyatt Langford, despite the bad throw, that was a true base hit from Danny Jansen. So David Robertson, four hits, one walk. You allowed five base runners in two-thirds of an inning. So, look, I know Robertson was not happy when he left. I don't blame him completely, but he did allow a lot of those base runners to get on. So I think maybe it's disgust at himself to an extent. I'm sure he'll take some blame. But Wyatt Langford makes a mildly decent throw, and Robertson gets out of that inning unscathed with no earned runs. But nevertheless, Robertson has not been sharp of late. I really don't think there's any way around that. He, I think, has been asked to do a lot for the Rangers this year. So I really can't blame him and his struggles right now. I think what you might be seeing is it is August. It's the dog days of summer. David Robertson has logged some miles at the back end of this Rangers bullpen. And you might be seeing a little bit of fatigue. Maybe. You might be seeing a little bit of overuse setting in. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it's just a little mechanical thing that Robertson can tweak. But it's been tough to see a guy like Robertson, who's been such a grinder for us all year, struggle a little bit of late. I do hope he can bounce back and get back on track. We have a Houston fan sighting. Oh, geez. You know what? Everybody's welcome. I always say that, but why would you want to hang out? The last thing and the last way I'm spending my time is in a Houston Astros live, but to each their own. You do you. I appreciate the views, the support. Thanks so much. Have fun in the comments section. All right. I think we could start putting a bow on this game tonight. Gotta love a 9-7 extra inning Rangers win. Doley, Langford, and of course, Jonah Heim all going deep tonight for the Rangers. Josh Smith, multiple extra base hits. You just love this performance from the Rangers late. It was not a great and awesome offensive performance all the way around. Like I said, the Rangers were 0 for 14 with runners in scoring position before the Wyatt Langford and Jonah Heim home runs. It was not a great offensive night for the Rangers, regardless of the fact that they put up seven runs going into extras. It was four going into the ninth inning. But sometimes this is how you got to win. You got to win a little ugly, and you get a couple big knocks late, and it feels like an outstanding, incredible game where everything was perfect and flawless. So that's what winning does. It covers a multitude of errors. It covers a multitude of shortcomings. And the Rangers do get that 9-7 win tonight. In extras, in the top of the 10th, Rangers score two runs on a Jonah Heim home run after a Wyatt Langford three-run bomb ties the game. Lots of clutch tonight from the Rangers. Something you have heard me time and time again rail on this team for. Not being clutch. The 0 for 14 with runners in scoring position tells you a little bit. But Wyatt Langford, Jonah Heim, two big swings today. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. I hope the Rangers do at least catch up to Seattle too. I really do hope so. Hopefully that can be in the cards. We'll see. I'm trying not to worry too much about the teams ahead of the Rangers right now, but it's hard not to. the Rangers, this is what they do. They get your hopes up. They have a great game like tonight. And you're like, why couldn't this be happening all season long? They get your hopes up, and then they bring you back down to earth fairly quickly. Offense, I agree, though, has not really clicked at any point consistently this year. Maybe it'll happen in August and September. Tristan says, we'll tie it. And, yeah, we'll see. We shall see. I don't know. I'm not trying not to worry too much about who's in front, but it's hard. It is hard. All right, let's look at the game for tomorrow. And by the way, if you got anything else from tonight's game you want to throw in the mix, questions, anything like that, please send it my way. I'd greatly appreciate it. But let's start looking at the Twin series. Don't know if they've announced a probable starter for tomorrow. Looks like Bradford is the guy. Bradford will be starting tomorrow. Ober will be starting for the Minnesota Twins. 7:05 Texas time start. Looks like there are a few Rangers players with some decent numbers against Ober. Marcus Semien is hitting 5-for-9 with 2 bombs. You've got Robbie Grossman, who I don't know if we're going to see tomorrow with Ober being a righty. Robbie Grossman, though, is hitting 5-for-8 off Ober in his career. Who knows? Maybe we get a Robbie sighting with those numbers. Nate Lowe, 1-for-4. Corey Seager, 1-for-4 with a home run. Josh Smith, 1-for-4. Leody, 1-for-5. Kind of a mixed bag, but Semien, the notable. Corey Seager with the home run, 1-for-4, the notable. On the other side, the Twins against Bradford. You've got 5 ABs collectively against Bradford from the Twins lineup, and everybody is 0-for-1. So Castro, Farmer, Jeffers, 0-for-1. Margot, Vasquez, Wallner, all 0-for-1. So Cody Bradford has not given up a hit to any Twins batters in his career. Maybe that can continue tomorrow night back in Arlington. Rangers on a happier flight, perhaps. I don't know if you can be super happy losing 4 games on the road trip on this East Coast swing, but a little happier, I will say, with the way that they won tonight. You got to celebrate and have fun with wins like this, no doubt. So that is the pitching matchup for tomorrow. Ober versus Bradford. And Rangers are actually one of only, I believe, 6 other games, 7 games total, including the Rangers game. The Astros are off tomorrow, so it would be an opportunity for us to gain a half game in the division, y'all. I'll stop. Mariners play the Tigers, though. So that is the end of their 4-game set. So Mariners-Tigers will be a day game. And Astros off, Rangers, Twins, tomorrow night, 7:05 Texas time start. Friday night, the Rangers will be trotting out Andrew Heaney. Saturday night, the Rangers have not announced a starter quite yet, and I would imagine the same for Sunday night. So the Twins have announced all their starters for this series with the Rangers. Rangers have Bradford and Heaney, so throwing back-to-back lefties against the Twins. We'll see who they decide to throw out there Saturday and Sunday. Evo likely going to be missing a couple of starts, I would presume. Although I know that the big thing with Evo is the innings count, with him needing a 300-inning threshold between the last 2 seasons, right, in order to activate that player option that he has, which I would imagine he'd be fairly interested in taking. I don't know. Maybe he becomes a free agent anyways. Aaron, if you're still around, is Evo likely, even if he gets the player option, is he likely to still go to free agency anyways? Have you heard anything? Aaron's got his foot, his ear to the ground on stuff like this. Sorry, y'all, long day, foot to the ground. I guess it makes sense. It's not a totally terrible expression, but whoo, long day and great Rangers win. But I don't know if Evo could get more than $20 million on the open market. Now, I know that he could probably get a multi-year deal, so maybe that's a reason why Evo opts out. I don't know if Evo could get more than $20 million annual on the open market. Maybe he could. I think his body of work definitely puts him in that conversation. I don't know if he'd be getting anything over 25. I think 25 would be super high end. I think 20 is actually probably a pretty fair number for Evo. I think the only question is he going to want multi-inning? Would the Rangers be interested in bringing him back on another 2-3-year deal, something like that? I think Evo can still be a really great pitcher for the next several years. So Aaron's saying right now he's expected to test the open market. Look, I wouldn't be shocked by that. I think a lot of guys coming off a decent year, and Evo has had a pretty good season for the Rangers, a little up and down at times, but you'd imagine a guy like Evo wants to probably try and secure that last contract. Evo, not the oldest baseball player out there or anything like that, but you would think he would be trying to get that last 2-3 year deal, something like that. So we'll see what happens. But Nate Eovaldi, right now, he is 34, going to be turning 35 next year. You still see some guys throwing well in their upper 30s. I think he could get a 3-year deal and keep on twirling for the Rangers, hopefully. We'll see what happens. Did y'all see this? I looked up Eovaldi, and I'm seeing this Sports Illustrated article. Did y'all see this? So apparently Ken Rosenthal suggested that the Rangers might waive some players, and Evo was one of the players. Did y'all see this report? I'm just looking at this now. This is a Sports Illustrated article by Stevenson, who some of y'all might follow. Writes for the Rangers a lot. Think he might do a couple other sports. So this article, it says, according to Ken Rosenthal, who pondered potential MLB moves ahead of the August 31st waiver trade deadline, he didn't just suggest Evo as an option for waivers, but starter Andrew Heaney and Robertson, Yates, and Leclerc. So Rosenthal, I don't think this is based on anything Chris Young has said, but Rosenthal suggesting we waive all of these players, I think he might be trying to just get clicks. Rosenthal suggesting that we potentially think about waiving Evo, Yates, Robertson, Leclerc, Heaney. I could see Leclerc. That's about the only plausible one to me. I do not think for a second the Rangers are waiving Nate Eovaldi. That move would shock me. I mean, that is just a terrible look. I don't think the Rangers are going to be waiving Nate Eovaldi or Andrew Heaney or any of those guys. I don't think there's really a whole lot of benefit in doing it. Shed salary, I guess, but I don't know. Maybe somebody in here thinks that's a great idea, but Ken Rosenthal toying with the concept of the Rangers waiving a bunch of players before the trade deadline as a way to save money. But even he acknowledged it would make the Rangers look very, very cheap. So I think he figures if the Rangers waived four of those five pitchers that I just said, they would save about $6 million. Look, I don't think that's worth looking cheap and doing your players a little dirty like that, unless one of them just really wants to get waived. Like, I don't know, if Evo came to you and said, hey, I want to get put on waivers, I want to go to a postseason team, and I want to see if a trade can get worked out. Okay, great. Great. But if none of those guys are wanting to get waived, I have no idea why you would do it to try and save yourself $5 or $6 million. I might waive Leclerc. That's about it. I mean, Aaron, I do agree. Look, I'm not all over Ken Rosenthal stuff. Honestly, this is the first I'd seen this all day long. And it just so happened that I Google searched Evo just to see how old he was. And Ken Rosenthal's suggestion, we'll call it, popped up. But I do agree with you. A lot of it is very clickbaity. And so I'm not a big fan of buying into everything that they say either. So I absolutely would be a huge, huge detractor from doing anything related to what Ken Rosenthal just said. That's not the look you want for your organization. Waiving a bunch of solid veteran players, especially if they don't want to leave, just to save a couple of bucks because you missed out at the trade deadline because you decided to hold instead of sell, which, by the way, at the time, I don't think was a ridiculous decision. In hindsight, it doesn't look great. We probably should have sold some more guys, but I hope that that doesn't happen. Really hope not. All right, y'all, I'm going to wrap things up here. We are going to go around the league real quick, talk about headlines, talk about the AL West, and again, the two other AL West teams ahead of the Rangers, the Astros and the Mariners. Both played extra innings, I believe, today, if I'm not mistaken. Houston went 10. Seattle went 10. Everybody went 10 today. Rangers, Mariners, Astros all went 10 innings today. And all but Seattle came out a winner. Houston beats the Rays 2-1. Seattle loses to Detroit 3-2. Rangers, of course, beat the Red Sox 9-7. Let's look at the standings. We have Houston up by 9.5, 8-game win streak. Seattle, 2.5-game deficit. We are 7 games behind the Mariners for the second place spot. Texas is 10 games out of the wild card, so about equal chance right now if you were even pondering what the wild card standings looked like. So the Rangers have an equally poor chance from either the division side of things or the wild card side of things to make the playoffs. It's got to be under 1% on FanGraphs by now, I got to think. Got to think it's under a 1% chance for the Rangers to make the playoffs at this point. Around the league, let's see if we got any headlines worth talking about. So Soto hit another home run tonight in Chicago, followed up his 3 home run performance with another bomb. So there's that. Let's see. Bobby Witt takes a pitch 4 feet high off the ground deep for a home run. Man, I would love to have Bobby Witt on our team, have him play short. Bobby Witt, shortstop, maybe move Corey over to first. That would be a very fun team to watch. Bobby Witt, one of my favorite players, not a Texas Ranger. I'm going to have to watch that replay. 4 feet high off the ground and you take it deep. That's impressive. Very, very impressive. Schwarber hits a go-ahead grand slam and Phils get a much-needed win. Lindor ends homerless streak with huge home run. I'm assuming the Mets got a win tonight. They were kind of fading a little bit, but they're playing the A's right now. Looks like they won 9-1 today. That's about it. Not a whole lot else going on around the league tonight. So let me go ahead and let me check things out on comments one more time. A couple of people on the live. Yeah, I see, by the way, Tiger Steaks, what's up on TikTok? Appreciate the comments. Sorry, sometimes I miss out on y'all. I get into it. Let's see. JJ, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for all the comments on TikTok, y'all. Today, I think I got a little too excited with this Rangers victory. Forgot about y'all for a second. So a couple of comments I'll read through. So first of all, one of the comments basically just saying, yeah, don't want to wave any of the players. Bring Kumar Rocker up. I'm interested to see who they bring up in September. I think that's going to be really interesting. Who are the Rangers going to bring up in September? I don't know if they're going to bring up Kumar, but I really don't know. I don't think that they're going to try and rush him. Tiger's Takes on TikTok says, how much money are you down so far? I think we're back up because the Rangers were underdogs, but we're right around like 1,100, 1,200 down right now, y'all. It's not pretty. It's not pretty right now, but I'm hopeful the Rangers can end on a positive note. As I like to do to make myself feel better, you do the math. So I'm down about 1,100, 1,200 on the season in my challenge, betting 1 cent on Texas Rangers winning for every follower that I have. I'm at about 10,200 total followers across all platforms, down about $1,200-ish dollars on the year. So I figure they played 120 games. I'm down 1,200. That's like $10 a game. So you know what? When I put it like that, hey, paying $10 every time they play doesn't seem so bad. You tell me what you think of my math on that one. I sure hope they can help me out, though, and my challenge can get a little boost from the Rangers with some good play down the stretch. I sure would love that. But it is not super pretty right now. Another comment says, I think you should do this same thing, but with the Longhorns. I'm actually probably going to engage a lot of y'all on this stuff. But you guys know on my channel, we cover a bunch of different Texas teams, mostly DFW teams. So I grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So Rangers, Mavericks, Cowboys. And then I grew up a Texas Longhorns fan as well. So I'm toying around with what to do this fall. Obviously, we're still going to have baseball in September and October. Hopefully for the Rangers, they'll get some October baseball. I'm not super hopeful, but we've still got some baseball yet this year. So we'll still be doing right on Rangers with the Texas Rangers, but I'm thinking about possibly doing it for other sports as well. Don't know if we'll do a live every day when some of those teams play, like the Mavericks. I don't know if I'll go live after every Mavericks game or anything like that, but I have thought maybe about doing a live after Longhorns football and after some Cowboys football games, or maybe doing a joint show where I cover each team. So I know not every Rangers fan is a Cowboys fan or a Longhorns fan, but I probably will start transitioning into some of that content as football gets kicked off. But like I said, I'll probably try and engage some of you guys, see what your interest level is, and see what you guys think would be good. I got a couple of ideas in mind, but look out for that later on. Yeah, a couple of things here. I do think maybe Walcott potentially could be that September call-up. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they'll give him an opportunity. It just kind of depends on where they're at in the standings, but I think they might potentially give a guy like Walcott an opportunity. Maybe Teodo. I just don't know. Who knows what CY has completely up his sleeve. I think you want to give some opportunities to guys in September if you're not going to make the playoffs, especially. So I'm excited to see who they bring up. I mean, I don't have any clue exactly who's going to get brought up, but I'm excited for them to bring some of the young guys up and to get to see them play and react. I think it's a delicate balance. You want to make sure you're putting guys in positions to be successful. Sometimes guys who do really well down at AA aren't going to make the jump up to the major league level and do well. So Kumar Rocker, throwing well at AA, I think you got to slowly work him up the ranks. I would doubt if we see Kumar Rocker this year, but maybe some of those other guys. That could be a lot of fun. I wonder, you know who I was thinking about, Texas Rangers prospect? I was thinking about Acuna the other day because we were talking about the Scherzer trade and how it really hasn't worked out for the Rangers. I do think, if we're being honest, as much as I like Max, I love the competitor that he is, I absolutely feel like we're going to look back on that one and regret it to an extent. Max did help us out in the postseason. Absolutely, he did. He was hurt for a majority of it, but he did have a couple of key outings in there. He was a part of the World Series run. Can't deny it. But I think they're going to look back and miss Luis Angel Acuna. Right now, Acuna in AAA, I'm just looking at his 2024 stats. They're not overly gaudy. He does have 31 steals, 265 average, 6 bombs, 41 RBI. So who knows? Who knows what he's going to become? I do wonder, though, if that's going to be a trade we look back on when Acuna is an all-star for the Mets and wish that we could have it back. We'll see what happens. Let's see. Walcott, though, to go back to the comment, I don't know if they're going to transition Walcott to an outfield position. I actually think that they're going to probably keep him right where he is. And I think Corey Seager at some point in the next couple of years is probably going to be the one making the transition. I've heard it thrown around multiple times by multiple Rangers personalities and media that down the road, that has been kind of the unofficial plan for him to move to first base, Corey Seager. We'll see if it happens. I mean, it's not a foregone conclusion, but I think ideally, you have Seager move to first base within the next 3 years, maybe 2 years, and then you have Walcott come up and play short. That's what I'd like to see. I love Corey. He's my favorite Ranger. A lot of Texas Rangers fans, Corey's their favorite too. I don't think Corey plays a particularly stunning shortstop. I think he's not a bad defensive shortstop. I think he's better than a mediocre defensive shortstop. I think he's a good defensive shortstop. But I think you see where Seager lacks a little bit of range, and there's probably other guys that could man that position out in the field a little bit better. So I'd really like to see them transition him to first base within the next 2 or 3 seasons and leave Walcott where he's at shortstop. I do think that the Rangers need to start thinking about that. I don't think Corey's going to be able to hold down shortstop forever. So we'll see what they decide to do. Let's keep going here. Aaron. Who's your team, Aaron, by the way? Cowgirls. Come on now. Tristan, thanks for the correction. I appreciate that. Thanks for the correction. Aaron, tell me who your team is. I think I remember you telling me at one point, or maybe I saw it on your socials, but let me know. Who's your team? We are definitely probably going to be getting into some Cowboys football, though, at some point. So, you know, if you are not a big Cowboys fan or Longhorns fan, we're still throwing Rangers content out there, but we will start getting into some football here. Football is right up there with baseball for me. Baseball, probably first love. Football, extremely close second. We'll definitely be doing some football stuff, though. I mean, it is probably the biggest sport out there. So we won't miss out on an opportunity to talk Cowboys and Longhorns, but we're going to finish out strong with the Rangers this year. Win or lose. Win or lose. No favorite in the NFL. Yep. NFL is definitely a fun time of the year. October is one of my favorite times of the year. Playoff baseball, you got NFL in full swing, college football in full swing. It's a great time of the year. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully some of y'all will stick around when we start doing a little bit more football stuff. But Cowboys, Mavericks, Longhorns, Rangers, those are the big four. Well, all right, y'all, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. Thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate all of y'all and your support. If you're not following the account, not subscribed to the channel yet, would greatly appreciate if you hit that follow or subscribe button, whether you're on TikTok or whether you are watching on YouTube, X, Facebook, or Instagram. And if you know somebody that's a big Rangers fan, you know somebody that loves the Texas Rangers or Major League Baseball, please share the channel with them. Share the account with them. Share with them one of my videos. I'd greatly, greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much. Bochy's contract, I think Aaron just got to it in the comments, but he's got one more year left. Although I kind of wondered, I was pondering this the other night, if potentially they'll think about extending him in the offseason so he's not in that, you know, lame duck-ish kind of year or what could be a lame duck year. So maybe they'll extend him in the offseason. I think they're probably going to talk about it. I would imagine Boch is going to be hungry to go out on a better note. That's my prediction. All right, y'all. We'll be back after the Twins-Rangers game tomorrow, hopefully after another Rangers win. Four-game set with the Twins. So we will look to probably go live during some of the games, maybe this weekend, like on Saturday or Sunday. Not sure if we'll be able to do it Thursday or Friday, but looking forward to a good series with the Twins. Going to be a competitive team coming to Arlington, fighting for a good playoff spot and to maintain it. So the Twins, I'm sure, are going to be giving us their best. Hopefully the Rangers can make it fun for the home fans, play some spoiler down the stretch. That's what I want to see. Keep fighting, keep winning, keep scratching, clawing, trying to get some wins and scraping them together. And then, hey, like I said, maybe you look up in September and there's still a sliver of hope left. Who knows? That's why you got to play the games. But I hope y'all have a great rest of your Wednesday night. Looking forward to seeing y'all at some point later this week or on the replay on YouTube or Facebook. Have a good one. As I always say to end every show, God bless and go Rangers.